Okay, at this time, the children are dismissed, if there are any in here. If you'll open your Bible once again to Jeremiah 32, we'll get into this morning's service. I'd like to read another portion of the chapter in verse 38, if you'll follow along with me, in Jeremiah 32, verse 38. The Lord says, as we read in the Corinthians, or I read in Corinthians this morning, "They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, so that they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good. I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul." That's the Lord's big plan. Just a proper relationship where He's God and we're His people. That's His heart. That's what He wants. That's what He wants to bring about. And on His end, He wants to be our God, and He wants to do it with all of His heart and all of His soul. He wants to have a full relationship with us. We're going to kind of look at that today, relationship with the Lord, intimacy, connection, interaction. Let's pray once again. Heavenly Father, we do look to You to receive a message from You, and we commit this time to You and ask that You would move and work in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be looking at an overview of chapters 32 and 33, and basically the story that we pick up. We read this morning how Jeremiah is in prison. And the Lord speaks to him as he's in prison and being opposed by the king. He says, "Jeremiah, I want you to buy the land from your cousin. He's going to come, and I want you to buy it." And so Hanamel, his cousin, comes, says, "It's your right to redeem it. Will you purchase it?" He says, "I'll buy it. I know it's the Lord." He purchases it. And then, after he purchases it, look at chapter 32, verse 16. "Now when I had delivered the purchase deed to Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord." So then he prayed to the Lord after he purchased the land. And at the end of his prayer in verse 25, he says, "And you have said to me, O Lord, buy the field for money and take witnesses. Yet the city has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans." See, part of his prayer was, "Hey God, you told me to buy the property. I bought the deed. I bought the piece of land. And yet the Chaldeans are going to take the land over. The city's under siege and it's going to fall." So he's really kind of like, "Okay, God, what's up with this? Why are you making me make this purchase when it's going to be given over to our enemies?" And then in verse 26, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. God answers Jeremiah. The rest of the chapter is God's answer as he affirms his plan to him. And he tells them that, "I will bring the captives back after the city falls. I will bring the captivity back in the land. Once again will be bought and sold in the city of Jerusalem." Chapter 33, if you look at the first verse, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying." So chapter 32 or 33 is God coming to Jeremiah and speaking a second time to him. And the rest of the chapter is just God sharing wonderful things with Jeremiah about his plan, about his purpose. So we see in these two chapters here, it's Jeremiah hearing from the Lord, instruction, obeying the Lord, doing what he says, and then praying, "Lord, I don't understand," and the Lord answering him, and the Lord answering him again. This interaction, this back and forth. Really, the whole book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is not a biography of the life of Jeremiah, nor is it a historical account of the city of Jerusalem or this nation of Israel during the time of Jeremiah. It's a book of prophecy, and the whole book is what God is saying to Jeremiah, for Jeremiah to say to the people. And it's how the word of the Lord applies to Jeremiah's life, applies to the king's life, and applies to the nation Israel. It's all about the word of the Lord. And it's all, as you read through the book of Jeremiah, over 50 times you hear that the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah, more times than there are chapters. That's what it's all about. We see this interaction where God speaks to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah listens, and Jeremiah looks, and Jeremiah believes, and Jeremiah obeys. This interaction, this back and forth, this relationship Jeremiah had with God. I have a question to pose to you this morning. Do you think Jeremiah had a good life? Do you think Jeremiah had a good life? We noticed this morning, as we read in chapter 32, that Jeremiah at this point was in prison. He was locked up in prison, and that wasn't uncommon for Jeremiah. He was in and out of prison a lot. In fact, some of the dungeons he was thrown in as he sunk in the miry pit, he almost died and starved to death. These dungeons would make our prisons look like five-star hotels. So do you think Jeremiah had a good life? We see here in chapter 32 that Jeremiah lived in a time where the city was under siege. Jeremiah didn't live in a recession. He didn't live in a depression. He lived in a time that was far worse than that. Things were rough. The economy was bad. That was Jeremiah's time. So do you think Jeremiah had a good life? We also see in chapter 32 that the king of the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah, the king of the city of Jerusalem, opposed Jeremiah, Zedekiah. He's the one that threw him in prison. He says, "I don't like what you're saying. You're bad for the morale of the people." So here's Jeremiah in prison in a time period when things are rough, being opposed by authority, opposed by the king. So, do you think Jeremiah had a good life? Well, I do. In fact, I think Jeremiah had a great life. And you can maybe disagree, but give me time to present my case, my reasoning for this. What makes the difference in life? What makes a great life? Now, I admit, Jeremiah definitely had a hard life. He had a difficult life. He experienced hunger and pain and opposition and ridicule. A difficult life. But I think he had a great life, and this is why. Because of his interaction and relationship and connection with God. He had an intimate relationship with the Lord. The Lord spoke to him, and the Lord spoke a lot to him. Showed him a lot of stuff, and he believed it. And he obeyed it. And he had this special thing going. And you know what? That is the most important thing in life. Our relationship with God. That's his desire, for him to be God and us to be his people. And that's what matters most. And every man and woman that had a great life, that is anything worth admiring, had that. We look in the Bible, we see that Enoch walked with God. We see that Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. A connection. Moses, we're told, spoke with God as one face to face. And the Bible says that above the mercy seat, the Lord communed with Moses. That relationship, that intimacy. We see David was a man after God's own heart. And we see these examples through scriptures of these people who had this thing going with the Lord where they spoke to him. And they listened to him. They believed in him. And they communed with him. This special relationship. And Jeremiah had it. And that's why I say Jeremiah had a great life, though it was hard and difficult. Many admirable people had that. This interaction between man and God. This relationship. Communion, connection, intimacy. So we're going to look at these two chapters, and we're going to see if we can look at the benefits of having a relationship with God. An intimate connection. An interaction where God speaks and one hears, pays attention, believes, and obeys. The benefits of that and how that makes one's life great. The first benefit I'd like to look at, we can find in verse 8 of chapter 32. Towards the end, as his cousin came to him, Jeremiah says, "Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord." See, the Lord told him to buy the field, buy the property. He said, "Your cousin's coming, and he's going to ask you to buy it." And then his cousin came and asked him to buy it. And he said, "Now I know that this was really the Lord that spoke to me." And now, I see here, from this verse, and from others we're going to see, one thing that Jeremiah had because of his relationship with the Lord is assurance. He knew. See, it says, then he knew. It took time. He learned to have assurance of the Lord, with the Lord. But he knew. Though he had a difficult life, though it was hard, Jeremiah walked around and he had an assurance. I know what's going to happen. I know what God's saying. I know it. I know it. I'm assured of it. And I see in Jeremiah's life and in the case of everybody's life where assurance comes from, true, tangible, real assurance, is from a relationship with Jesus, an intimate connection and interaction with God. It's developed from that. Paul said, I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed to him. You see, that assurance comes from a relationship and an interaction with God. Knowing. You see, when you know God, then you start to know things. And the more you know God, the closer you get to God, the deeper your relationship with the Lord, the more intimate your relationship gets with Jesus, the more assured you are. You know, at first, I wasn't quite sure. Now I'm pretty darn sure. Pretty soon, you're completely convinced that you will spend eternity with him, that he is real, and you're more sure. The Bible talks about full assurance. You can be so sure that you're more sure of your relationship with the Lord and what he's saying than anything else in life. Completely assured. Full assurance. It's something that comes from a relationship with God. Something that makes your life great. Assurance. Though things may be difficult, Jeremiah was assured. That was cool. That was great. Next thing I'd like to see, along those lines, look at verse 17, Jeremiah's prayer. He says, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. How did he know that? How did he know that God created everything with his arm? Well, because he got to know God. See, in the past, he heard that God created everything, and now he was at the point of his relationship with the Lord. He knew it was true, and he declared it so. God is the creator of the universe. You made everything with your outstretched arm, Lord. And he was assured of that. He says, there is nothing too hard for you. How did he know that? Because he's seen him do things that were hard. Because of his relationship with him, his connection with him. Assurance, a benefit of a relationship with the Lord. An intimate interaction, connection with our Creator. Turn to chapter 33. We'll look at the second benefit. When the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time, in verse 3, God says to Jeremiah, Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Another benefit of an intimate interaction with the Lord, a relationship with Jesus, is answers. There are many questions in life, nagging questions, questions that just seem to irk you. That you desire a resolution, an answer, a resolve for these questions. And God says to Jeremiah, Call to me, seek me, reach out for me, and I will answer you. I will give you answers. And that's a benefit of having a personal relationship with Jesus, an intimate interaction with him. You get answers to your questions. And I'm talking about real, tangible answers that your spirit bears witness to. And I can think of my life, there's certain answers that the Lord has given me about something. And man, that goes a long way. You hold on to that for a long time. Those are things that matter. Answers in life. I'm talking about big answers. I'm talking about the biggest answers in life. And not only like, you know, hey, Jesus is the answer, right? Yeah. But notice he says, Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. See, God wants to give you lots of answers. God is all-knowing. He knows everything. And he's got a wonderful plan. And he's just dying to share it with someone. He's just looking for someone that he can reveal his truths, his plan, that he can reveal answers to. God's someone who wants to reveal things. Jesus, when he was on earth, he told his disciples, All things that the Father has showed me, I have declared to you. God's not holding out. God wants to give us answers. He wants to reveal truth to us. And look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah had this relationship with the Lord going in 50-some chapters. It's a thick book. God revealed all kinds of things to Jeremiah. Look at, just as an example, look at verse 15 of chapter 33. as the Lord's speaking to Jeremiah. In those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. What is the Lord trying to reveal to Jeremiah? What is he talking about? Who is the branch? He goes on to tell Jeremiah that there will never cease to be a king on the throne from the line of David. He tells them there will never cease to be a priest ministering for Israel, for his people. Jesus, the Lord, is trying to reveal to Jeremiah about his plan of salvation through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is that branch. Jesus is the king that will never cease to rule. Jesus is the priest, the Bible says, according to the order of Melchizedek, a priest forever. You see, you know, God's trying to share with Jeremiah his wonderful plan of who's coming and what he's going to do. Deep things. Things that are beyond his time. Wonderful things. God's sharing with Jeremiah. All kinds of things. He desires to share things with us. To grow our understanding. To deepen our knowledge of truth. And when it comes to things from the Lord, we are connected to a resource that has no limits. The Bible says that in the New Testament, Paul says that we would know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. The types of things that God wants to show us will consume our existence for our whole lifetime. There's plenty to go around. There's plenty for us to learn. And there's always more he wants to reveal to us. No matter how long, no matter how close and intimate and connected and interacting we become with the Lord, we could live a life hundreds and hundreds of years speaking with him every day, and he'll still have something new for us all the time. And a benefit of having a personal connection and relationship with the Lord is answers, understanding. I look at verse 6 of chapter 33. He said to Jeremiah, "Behold, I will bring it health and healing," speaking of the city. "I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth," saying that when I bring the people back, I'm going to restore, I'm going to give them peace. Here's another benefit of having a relationship with the Lord. Intimate connection. Peace. The Bible says there's no peace for the wicked. And peace comes from him. And it's developed through a relationship with him. And the closer you get to Jesus, the more peace you have. A benefit. And Jeremiah, he had peace. You read how sometimes he had questions, he'd come to the Lord. Sometimes he was anxious and certainly hurting and went through difficult times. But you hear him make these prophecies and go and obey the Lord. And he knew it was right, and he had a peace in the midst of the storm. The Bible says that he is our peace. Again, that connection is where we get our peace. We can't get peace apart from him. He is our peace. Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." That's where it comes from. And he wants to give it to us. He wants us to live a life of peace. It comes from him. The Bible says that he will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on you, the Lord, because he trusts in the Lord. That's where it comes from. That connection, that interaction, that intimacy with the Lord brings peace. You know, this whole idea of connecting with God, it's the most important thing there is. It's what it's all about. In heaven, it's just going to be a complete interaction. It's going to be where we get to fully connect with the Lord. In hell is just the absence of any connection with the Lord. This is what it's all about, connecting with God. And the benefits are more important than anything in this world. Now, these benefits, assurance, answers, peace, they're not physical benefits, they're spiritual benefits. But spiritual benefits are more important than physical benefits. Assurance, answers, peace. And finally, and one more thing I'd like to look at is that is hope. We read a couple weeks ago in Jeremiah 29 about God's good plan for our future. And we see this consistent even in this chapter. Let's look at a couple verses in chapter 33. Look at verse 9. Then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth, who shall hear of all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it. You see, God is good. And the closer you get to Him, the more hope you have. And the more positive your outlook on things, because you're connecting to someone good. And another verse in verse 11. God spoke to Jeremiah, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of those who say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endures forever. Verse 14, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. So, another benefit of having an intimate relationship with the Lord is hope. And the closer you get to God, the more hope you have. As you look to the future, God has good in store. The end is good. The more you believe that, the more you see that, the more you learn that, the closer you get to that, the more hope you have. Benefits of having an intimate relationship with the Lord. So, pose the question again. Do you think Jeremiah had a good life? Do you think he had a great life because of his interaction and his connection with the Lord? Though his circumstances on earth were bleak, Chris mentioned he was the weeping prophet. He didn't see a lot of success in his ministry on earth. It wasn't like people were saying, wow, you're a man of God, and everybody repented and worshiped the Lord. Everybody opposed him and didn't listen to him. But it didn't matter because he had an intimate relationship with the Lord. So how do we experience that type of intimate relationship? How do we develop? How do we go deeper? How do we hear? How do we know God? You know, do you have that type of intimate relationship with the Lord? If you think in your mind, maybe, you can know. You can have assurance that you know you have a connection with God, that you hear His voice. And you can go deeper and deeper and have more and more assurance, find more and more answers, come to live a life of peace and hope the closer you get. How does it happen? How does it work? Well, first of all, it has nothing to do with us. We don't just decide, okay, I'm going to connect with God. We can't. We're sinful man. And we can't reach that high. We cannot start this relationship and this connection with the Lord. It's His doing. Look at chapter 32, verse 40. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so they will not depart from me. See, God does it. And He's promised to make this covenant. And this type of covenant that He is the one to keep and accomplish is from the inside out. If you want to have this intimate relationship with the Lord, it's not about changing your outside. It's not about doing different things. It's not about moving to a different place or getting a different job. This relationship starts from the inside. As God comes and changes our hearts and makes a change deep inside of us. The Bible says how this connection works, that our spirit bears witness with His spirit from the inside out. And last week we looked at chapter 31 of Jeremiah. If you turn to chapter 31, verse 33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write on their hearts. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's how that relationship happens, where God is God, and we're His people. When He puts His law in our minds and in our hearts, changes us on the inside. That's the only way it's going to work. We can't do it from the outside. We have to do it from the inside. He has to do it from the inside. Look at chapter 33, verse 8. God declares to Jeremiah, I will cleanse them from all their iniquity. by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquity by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. Okay, step one. If you want to have an intimate relationship with the Lord, or maybe you want to have a deeper, more intimate connection and interaction with the Lord, step one, you got to recognize the problem. Sin is what separates us from God. Sin is the problem. Mankind is sinful, therefore he's disconnected. And whenever a human sins, it creates distance between him and the Lord. When I sin, as a born-again believer of the Lord, with a relationship with the Lord, when I sin and do what displeases him and what is contrary to what his word teaches, it creates distance between me and him. And that sin must be resolved. Now, ultimately, when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price and resolved that whole gap and that whole problem to bring relationship. And he promised what he was going to do to Jeremiah. He says, I will cleanse them from their iniquity and I will pardon them from their sins. Two things. You know, clean up the mess they made and forgive the actions. Forgive what they've done, their sin. I'd like to read a couple scriptures real quick from the book of John about this relationship with the Lord. John 8:31. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jeremiah heard the word of the Lord. He saw what the Lord was showing him. He believed it and he obeyed it. Jesus said to his disciples, abide in my word, and you will be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John 14:20. Almost done here. At that day you will know that I am the Father, and you in me, and I in you. The Lord coming inside of us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God. And how this intimate relationship works is him indwelling us. You will know I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. And finally, John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Knowing him, having a relationship, intimate relationship with the Lord. So, you have to decide yourself if you think a life connected with the Lord is a great life. The benefits of knowing what you know, having peace and hope, of having answers to life's questions, tangible, real answers. If that's great, if that's worth it, no matter what the cost, even if it's a high cost, because guess what? It is. It costs everything. Jesus says, if you want to follow after me, you must lay down your life. Pick up your cross daily and follow me. It costs everything. But, oh, the benefits are amazing. So, in closing, we'll pray, and for those that desire to start that intimate relationship, you know, I hope that none of this, what my heart in saying all these things is to initiate a desire for that connection. When you hear these things, you not that, you know, you would say, well, yeah, I have all that stuff, but that you would say, I want to have more assurance. I want to have more peace. I want to have more hope. I want to have more answers. And I believe that that's found in Jesus. That's my hope, that your response would be. And I'm here with all assurance and faith to tell you that God wants you to have all that too. He loves you, and every single one of you can have hope and peace and assurance and answers. And all of that is found in Jesus Christ. So I'm here to encourage you all to join with me to reach out for a closer relationship with Jesus, believing that He is the answer and He's what matters. And if your life is going to be great, it's going to be because you're close to Jesus. It has nothing to do with this world. You will spend eternity with Him, and everything else fades in comparison. So I encourage you to join me in crying out to the Lord. What did the Lord tell Jeremiah? Call to me, and I will answer you. He does it. We can't connect with Him. He connects with us. But we have to initiate. Well, not necessarily. He initiated first. But we have to show earnest. We have to say, okay, God, I want it. We have to choose. And we got to keep choosing. And the more we choose and the more we reach and the more we allow Him place in our life, the closer we can get. The more we can hear. The more we can see, the more we can believe, and the more we can obey. So please stand. And I encourage all of you to pray from your heart with me for those of you that truly desire, as I do, to deepen your relationship with the Lord. Heavenly Father, we read your word. We see Jeremiah. And though his life was hard, we admire his intimate, interactive relationship with you. Lord, we want that. We want more of that. We want you to be in control of our lives. We want you to speak to us. We want you to give us assurance and peace and hope and answers. And Father, even if it's hard and difficult, even if it's not the life that we would choose, Lord, we believe it's better. We believe it's best. We believe it's the greatest life one can live. So we cry out to you this morning. Oh Lord, cleanse us from our sins. Pardon us from our iniquities. The things we do that cause distance, that bring us away from you. Oh Lord, strengthen our faith. Oh Lord, give us consistent perseverance that we would wake up tomorrow and have the same desire. And we would grow and continue to go forward. Oh Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Pour out your love and your goodness into our hearts. Give us all of you. Indwell us. Come live inside of us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.